Triumphant Story of a Man Named Christmas by Maria Fontaine.
With Christmas close at hand, the Lord reminded me of a story about a man named Christmas. I have recounted here some of the events of his life in a dramatized form, written with the assistance of a TFI member, Ian Cutter.
"Hey, Christmas!"
the rough voice shouted out of a darkened alcove in the dimly lit alleyway. It was a voice that brought back haunting memories of times past that Christmas wanted to forget. Out of the shadows, an all-too-familiar shape emerged, followed by a clan of other rough-hewn figures, their faces sullen, their eyes filled with hate.
"Have you forgotten your old mates? Is it true that you've turned from the manly life to be a goody boy of a Christian, and a preacher at that?"
The words were spit out with such disgust that Christmas knew all too well what he was facing.
"I found a better life, and I'm not looking back, except to offer it to you," Christmas stated, determined not to be intimidated by the burly group of former companions who'd surrounded him with clenched fists and sadistic laughs at his words. "Then you'll be meeting your maker sooner than you'd planned," the man in front of him sneered.
The first push came from behind, but before Christmas could turn, he was shoved from one side and then another and another. He struggled to protect himself, but to no avail as blow after blow began to batter his large frame. A sudden strike with something hard to his face sent shafts of light and pain streaking through his brain, knocking him off balance. As he fell to the ground, the fists were replaced by work boots that carried the strength of powerful legs as they drove deeper and deeper into him, until there wasn't a spot on his body that wasn't screaming with agonizing pain. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity, the relief of unconsciousness mercifully began to shield his tormented mind, filling the void with thoughts, ones he'd long ago forgotten. Gently, they began to wash over him, arms that had surrounded him, gentle arms that brought comfort, the arms of a mother and father protecting him, and arms of siblings pulling on him playfully as they tumbled together into a heap in the grass. He relived the soothing effect of his father's voice. He seemed to be back again, sitting on his lap, eyes aglow as his father told him again the story of how Jesus had sent him to the humble home of a shoemaker and his wife early on a Christmas morning. They named him Christmas to always remind them of that first Christmas baby born long before to bring life and hope to men. But then those feelings of early years filled with innocence and sincere love began to grow gray and troubled as the storms of other times gathered around him. He found himself reliving those terrible times when at 9 years old his father's death caused his world to come crashing down. He shuddered as he remembered the hollow darkness of loneliness and isolation that took over his existence as his impoverished mother was forced to send him and his brother and sister to live with relatives. Then came the life as a virtual slave with a violent, alcoholic uncle who often vented his rage in cruel ways on him. His memories drew him into the depths of hopelessness that had filled the many nights when he had lain on the bare wood floor in the dark after a beating, and how he'd struggled to find some comfort but couldn't. He remembered how the tears that ran down his face would sting in the cuts he'd received, so that they hurt almost as much as the countless bruises. Yet nothing compared to the wrenching pain tearing at his heart when memories of those earlier, happier times came. He'd only been 9 when the beatings began, but by the age of 15, his now exceptional stature and angry nature empowered him to leave his uncle and to travel from farm to farm as a laborer with other rough, wild men. The clouds of memories were momentarily drawn aside as, through the haze of semi-consciousness, he could make out voices and shadowy faces looking down at him. "Is he dead?" one said. "There's so much blood, he must be." "And look at his eye," another spoke in astonishment. "He moved! Get the medic, doctor! Bring a plank and we'll carry him to the inn! Hurry!" The searing pain racked his body as he was lifted onto the makeshift stretcher and carried to a place where it was light enough for a doctor to go to work on his broken and battered frame. Though he tried to hang on to the present, he began to slip back into unconsciousness, where he sensed his memories were lying in wait to overwhelm him again. He almost preferred the nearly unbearable physical pain to the thoughts he was being forced to remember, but he was powerless to stop them as they rushed on him like a swarm of ghosts, reminding him of how far he'd sunk into the depths of hell on earth. It seemed hard now to believe that at only 17, he'd seen more of the evil that man was capable of than most people ever experience in their whole life. But it was in that hopeless pit that he'd found the one who had come to bring him the light of truth to guide him out. The depths he'd sunk to gradually led to a deep-seated desire that had been instilled in him as a young child, a love for the one who he'd been taught had sent him here for a purpose. Slowly, glimmers of light and hope began to fill his heart as he recalled that night when something had changed inside him, as he had sat listening to the truth that a Christian man patiently tried to explain to him. For the first time in many years, he'd begun to feel a touch of those happy memories of his early childhood. Looking back now, he felt a wave of contentment wash over him as he watched the hatred and anger and bitterness at all that he'd endured begin to change into a passion and fire for God. The sun seemed to come bursting over the horizon as he reveled in the remembrance of how from that point on he'd been determined to tell others of the power that had overcome all that had held him captive. He considered the lacks he'd faced, being poor, and how he had never even learned to read. Yet the determination in his heart had driven him on in his quest for the truth, till he found a group of other poor people meeting by candlelight till late into the night in the barn of a pastor. He almost laughed at how the impossible began to happen, as this kind man of God, seeing his determination to study the Bible, began to teach him to read. Christmas remembered the insight that seemed to burst from his own heart and the growing number of people who would listen to what he had to share with them. The memories of his joy and his newfound purpose brought him full circle to the present and what had just happened to him. Afterward. Like the Apostle Paul, who several times was beaten and left for dead, Christmas Evans, 1766 through 1838, survived his martyrdom. This humble yet dynamic man went on to become one of the most well-known preachers of Wales, traveling the countryside for over 40 years, stirring the hearts of many for God. Life is filled with times that are good and bad, ups and downs, blessings and hardships. But none of these times on their own determine what God can do with your life when it's placed in His hands. The Spirit of God can often shine all the brighter in a vessel that is broken, because the holes and cracks allow even more of His light to shine out. Christmas Evans had so many reasons why he shouldn't have become a force for God. Poverty, tragedy, abuse, bad influences, anger, no education, the loss of one eye from his beating, ill health, social stigmas, and persecution, trying to crush whatever good he tried to do. But with every setback, God provided a way for him to overcome, and he can do the same for you.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.